Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time to go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Talk to our friend, Mr. Peter Haley from NBC Sports
Peter.
Washington. Question we've been asking everybody, and Monica McNutt from ESPN just weighed in on Twitter. What makes the 2021 season a success for the Washington football team? Monica says 10 wins and a strong showing in the playoffs. I'm stopping just shy of having to have that playoff dub. So she won't go playoff win. I say playoff win. Peter Haley, what do you say?
Yeah, I'll copy you and say playoff win. It's nothing necessarily bigger than that, but I do think getting there and then falling once more would be a bit of a disappointment. Even though the schedule looks harder, I think this team is built much better than they were last year. Ron Rivera's healthier. He can coach the way he wants. So I think making the playoffs and then advancing in the playoffs makes it a success.
Yeah, I agree.
So good, Brian.
It's time to move forward. Not just get there. And listen, what if they win 9 games? They're 9-8. They go to the playoff and they win 2 playoff games. That's a success.
Oh, yeah.
So I just think that, you know, the amount of wins and things of that nature, winning that playoff game is what's going to set it apart from what it always has done.
Because they haven't won one in 16
That's
years.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, dude, we're talking about 15 years without
Pete
a playoff
was still
win.
Super wet behind the ears when they won the last playoff.
He was probably wearing diapers. When did you stop wearing diapers, Pete?
He was probably 10.
Well, I did almost get kicked out of preschool because I wasn't potty trained at the time when I needed to be. So I wore diapers a little further into my life than I should have, but I was not in diapers when this team won their last playoff game.
That is what's wrong with you right here. I understand.
When
now.
You talk about it, totally just know the levels of coddled of Pete Haley are just remarkable. He's wearing diapers in kindergarten. Kid's never been stung by a bee. Let's get down to business. I assume you're here for 20 questions. It's my understanding that you thought you had the boys on the ropes last week, and they came back to beat you.
Yeah, Chris Miles and B. Mitch were kind of trundling along there, not really making a lot of progress. But then I forget what the key was for B. Mitch, but I think he randomly pulled Philip Buchanan. I think it was a first-rounder cornerback who wasn't drafted by Washington and played under Shanahan. Those were kind of the crucial pieces of info, and B. Mitch, all of a sudden, the light bulb went off, and he nailed it on question 18. But it's good to have you back, JP. I know your vacation last week, while fun, was a little bit lagging because you didn't get to participate in this very fun game.
Yeah,
JP, he went on vacation. He didn't just kick us to the curb like you did.
Yeah, I called in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, though, let's get down to business here, Pete.
Yes,
explain the game real quick for so all our listeners that don't know will know.
Yeah, name of the game is pretty self-explanatory. It lends itself to the rules. 20 questions, JP B. Mitch and their merry band of brothers over there at 106.7 The Fan, which you're listening to right now, hopefully on the radio, but also on the Odyssey app. Try and guess the Washington football team player I have in my head. He could be random, he could be obscure, or he could just be a good player that I thought of on a whim. So you guys will ask yes or no questions, I'll answer them, and we'll see who is able to pull the name or if I'm able to get through 20 questions without anyone pulling the name.
All right, let's begin. Was this an offensive player?
Yes, he plays on offense.
All right, you're up, B.
All right, offensive player. Was he an offensive lineman?
No, he's not in the trenches.
Wide receiver?
No, not a wideout.
Mm-hmm.
Tight end.
No, J.P. Finley, he's not a tight end either.
Shoot. So what's left? Running backs
and wide receiver.
And quarterbacks.
We say wide receiver?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said tight end, wide receiver.
And O-line. So that leaves running backs and quarterbacks.
Running back and quarterback.
I can't imagine he's doing a quarterback because I think we'll be able to get a quarterback. Is he a running back?
He is a running back, and yes, astute listeners of 20 Questions will know that I've yet to choose a quarterback. I think that's the one position I haven't done. I've done a long snapper. I've done other random guys, but no QBs. It just feels a little easy.
Well, astute listeners will know that you once used B-Mitch as your person, and B-Mitch was the emergency quarterback. So take that.
Oh, you just out-astuted me. That was really impressive.
Yeah, I'm quite astute.
How many questions is that, Pete?
That is five. First quarter of your question limit is done.
Okay. We got a running back.
A running back.
Now we got to identify the time period.
Did he play for Joe Gibbs in his second stint?
He did not play for Joe Gibbs 2.0.
Gruden.
Yes. He played under Jay Gruden.
Okay.
And he's a running back. Okay.
Correct.
A running back in the Gruden era. All right. Now we're getting somewhere.
An illustrious era of running backs. A lot of success in those years. The guy loved to run the ball. He was just, you know, three yards in a cloud of dust.
I'm just writing some names down. Rob Kelly, Chris Thompson, Matt Jones. Remember Matt Jones?
Was Odell Betts here?
No, that was earlier. Alfred was still here. I mean, we certainly know how much Jay loved playing Adrian Peterson. Who was the dude he kept on the roster instead of AP in Eagles week one? Correll Buckhalter? Does that sound right?
No, Correll Buckhalter played for the Eagles.
Okay, who they claimed him off waivers and he kept him active over AP, and then Geis got hurt on like his second snap and that dude played. What the hell was that dude's name? That's my guess.
I feel like there's two important questions here that we should probably ask.
Okay, but I'm just trying to remember who the guy is I'm talking about.
Did this guy play for a Washington football team head coach other than Jay Gruden?
Yes, he did.
Okay. All right. Well, was it Ron Rivera?
No, it was not.
I have a clarification question here. Are you counting the Callahan era as not Jay Gruden? This does not count.
Yeah.
This is a clarification.
Bill Callahan is a different coach than Jay Gruden. So, yes, he would be counted. I'm not saying he is or isn't, but it counts.
So it could be Shanny or Callahan because it's not Rivera.
It's not Rivera.
Yeah. Shanny, I would agree with where you're at.
Shanny opens more doors. Callahan really locks this thing in. What do we want to use?
I think the answer is probably Shanahan, but we should just nail this down because we've gotten in trouble before making some assumptions that turned out not to be true.
Did this player also play for Bill Callahan?
Yes, he did play for Bill Callahan.
We're getting somewhere now.
So just to clarify what happened there, I told you that we should really nail an assumption down. You did the exact opposite of that, but it actually worked out.
That's the way to nail it down. If we know it's not Callahan, then we know it's Shanahan.
Right, that would have been making an assumption. The correct way to do it would have been to ask, is it Shanahan? But it worked out, so I'm not upset.
Cody Betts, a light bulb just went off on his head.
So he was on the team last year, in 2019.
In yeah. It's the dude that Jay played instead of AP. What's that? Week one, there was a big old national controversy because Adrian Peterson, for the first time in his career, was a healthy scratch for the other guy that they signed off of the Eagles practice squad.
Oh, wasn't that Wendell Smallwood?
Yes. Is it Wendell Smallwood?
Discouraging. So discouraging. Yeah, but on question 11.
I knew that. I had that dead to rights.
You had it on question 8. I thought hopefully you were going to get distracted because that happened before.
When JP said that, Pete, you went. And normally, see, the thing with you, you normally get happy or sad, but you make sounds too much when you're wrong, when somebody gets close.
Since, do you have some Wendell Smallwood facts for us?
Well, I do. I also just want to reflect on how disheartening it is to like come into this segment feeling really good, and then JP just, I don't know, it's such a specific little neuron in your brain that's fired to guess that it was the running back Gruden kept instead of AP. But yes, that's his most famous contribution in the opener. AP was inactive. Smallwood on specials was the big time story. And then afterward, Jay Gruden was asked about it and said, if I wanted to run in the I formation 25 times, maybe I'd give the ball to Adrian Peterson. A couple facts about Smallwood. Technically got a Super Bowl ring with the Eagles, even though he was inactive during the playoffs. While with the Eagles, he also had a kickoff return for touchdown in FedEx Field as a rookie in 2016. His favorite player was Deuce Staley, who I know Brian respects, who ended up being his position coach in Philadelphia. He's a West Virginia product, led the Big 12 in rushing as a junior, and he is currently a free agent, played in one game for the Steelers last season.
What's the other guy that Jay...
Maybe he'll go to
Didn't Jay
Rams.
Play another guy and got... that missed the block when Alex got hurt?
Yeah, Byron Marshall. He was the first guy that I said looked like me with his shirt off before Mac Jones came around.
Yeah, Byron Marshall's body was worse than JP's, for sure.
Let Pete, do you hear what Pete just said? He looked like me with his shirt off.
I'm trying to see, man. Your skin darker underneath that shirt or something?
I don't see color, Brian.
Hey, John Topstone said, if a man tell you he doesn't see color, get the hell away from him because he's lying.
I was joking. So, all right, Pete, we nailed you on this one. I have a because we have time to kill with you now, Peter, there's two things I want to bring up. I want everybody to make a noise that corresponds to the running backs I'm going to name off from the last 5 years of the Gruden, Callahan, Washington football team era. You ready? Byron Marshall, make a noise.
Womp, womp.
Do, 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 do.
All right. Rob Kelly.
I love Rob. I
gotta Yay!
Go. Let me see. Here we go.
I got love for Rob Kelly.
I'm playing a bugle or a trumpet. Jazz, because he's from New Orleans.
That was your noise, Landville?
Yeah.
All right. What about Samaje Perine?
Boo!
And that run went for minus 2 yards. 12, Washington.
I just think of like, dunk. Like just.
Yeah.
Not. What was that? All right. That was a hell of a noise. Capri Bibbs.
Yee.
Capri Bibbs did some good things.
Capri Bibbs should have stayed on the field.
Yeah.
Didn't Capri Bibbs, like...
Capri Bibbs is a guy that should have been playing.
Right, when Alex got hurt.
When Marshall played, yeah. So Capri Bibbs, I'm going to say...
I think he did lots of things.
Yeah. Oh.
Not everything was on the field, JP.
I think he did lots of things.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Boop.
Capri Bibbs... could ride Jeff Bezos' space rocket in Ashburn.
Wasn't there like a running back who was supposedly a special teams expert? I think this was after Alex Smith got hurt in 2018, who was like colossally screwing up on special teams against the Jaguars and Jay Gruden. Well,
Byron Marshall.
Oh, that was Byron Marshall.
Yeah, yeah,
when they ran a kickback, he tackled the wrong dude out of bounds.
And Jay's like, well, you know, he's real good on special teams, you know?
Yeah.
He's clearly not, because he's a fool.
He's a moron.
Matt Jones.
Oh, man.
That was... Landfill?
I just think silence, because you just shouldn't remember him.
I think B-Mitch's noise was the best, because he did have the one big game in Detroit. And he fumbled at the goal line twice.
Every time someone starts off with one, when you're talking about someone's career, then I know it wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Chris Thompson.
Well said, Brian.
I like Chris.
I like
so
Chris.
I'm trying to figure out a word that I can go.
You're not
like when
out
I
the
hit
bugle?
My little bush now. That's Crouch Aaron.
All right. Landfill, you got a Chris? Yeah! Adrian Peterson.
Wow.
I think...
I'm just nodding my head. I'm doing
king.
That's my
He's
head
king.
Nod sound.
I like AP. AP brought a standard, and this is the problem with coaches like a Jay. Don't try to tell me how hard you are when a guy comes in that's going to question you want to immediately get rid of him. Instead of, Find a way to use that person. The great coaches don't have a problem getting questioned. The ones that don't have faith in themselves, they got a problem being questioned. Just like bosses and every damn body else.
What was the name of the really fast guy from Georgia that had, like, blown out his knee three times and was never going to play?
Keith Marshall.
Yeah. What's your Keith Marshall noise?
How you start a car that never starts? How does it sound like?
He never got started.
That sound you hear is people turning off their radios across the DMV. Lastly, there was something that I actually hoped we had time for, so I'm glad we did.
Since Pete lost so quick,
Pete lost so fast. B. Mitch, are you aware that Pete claims he once shot a 78?
When?
Hold on.
I have some questions to ask.
Yeah, I figured you'd have some questions.
Were there any mulligans?
No.
Did you putt every ball in? Did you give yourself putts?
I put everything in, JP. Okay.
Did you say it was good after? Were you playing by yourself? Yeah.
Were you playing with yourself?
I do that other places aside from Needwood. I played with some strangers. This was back when I played like four times a week because I was working nights at NBC Sports Washington.
All right, what teams you played from?
Really good form.
Where were you at?
I was at Needwood. The tips are like 6,500. It's not anything crazy. I'm not pretending like I did this at, you know.
But I'm asking, did you play the tips?
Yeah. When you play at Needwood, you play the tips, unless you're 85.
All right. Well, I mean, it's kind of hard for me to believe because I've just seen you, like,
I saw you hacking
a tree for like five swings. And then when you got to the green, you were saying you were lying five or six. And I know you were in the trees for five swings. Yeah.
Well, Brian, so Jordan Spieth's career and mine follow a similar arc. He got super hot when he was young. He kind of fell into the doldrums, and now he's on the way up again. That's where I'm at. You saw me at the bottom. When I shot a 78, I also shot a 79 that summer. That was when I was winning the British Open and the U.S. Open, and now I'm back on the way up.
You're not going to compare yourself to Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, I think he just compared himself to Jordan
Spieth. No. So when was this, last year, Pete, or year before last?
No, it was probably 3 years ago at this point because I've dealt with some shanks issues. I topped the ball with my driver. There's been a lot of hobble rocket.
So those problems.
Since you shot 78, 79, what's been the best score since then?
84 is the best. I haven't even approached anything like that before. So, but again, I feel better. I've made some swing changes. I've seen some coaches. I've been grinding at the range. I am trending upward, believe it or not.
So if you and JP play right now, I should put my money on you?
I would think so, yeah. I think you would put the money on me. It wouldn't necessarily be a heavy favor, but if it was on FanDuel, I'd probably be like minus 125. He'd be like plus 107.
Sounds like a wager coming.
So I got $15 on Pete against you, JP. Pete, if you, lose my money, Pete, I'm going to hurt you.
You're the guy that puts $30 on a six-leg parlay and you'll only put $15 on Pete?
Hell yeah.
That's like a landfill-esque wager.
No, it's Pete.
It's an indictment
on
my golf
game. The last time I saw Pete's game,
I think it's a worse indictment on my golf game that he's betting on you.
Well, it's crazy when you think about it. The last time B-Mitch saw me, I shot a 116, and that is 16. That's 38 shots different than a 78.
Here's the thing.
More than two shots per hole different.
I'll wager you $1,000 on the first five holes. That's when I'm good. And then everything falls apart.
Pete.
If you subtract a zero off that, I'm in. Actually, you know what? Screw it. Let's play $1,000 for the first five holes, JP.
Bam!
No way.
You're going to put something out there and then run?
I was joking.
Oh, you're going to have a five-hole bet?
Come on,
man.
You're going to have a five-hole bet?
The first five holes, there is $1,000, but you got a whole bet, too.
What's the rest of the bet?
I got $500 on Pete because I think you're going to be so nervous after you lost the $1,000, you're going to lose the $500, too.
Landville, who are you betting on between me and Pete playing golf?
I'm going to be honest. I never thought I'd say this, but I'm going to take you.
Wow.
Whoa.
And Landville hates me.
Pete, you better not lose now.
You know that Pete has to be my caddy later this summer? Because we had a fantasy baseball bet, and he lost.
He's going to just carry you back.
He has to be my caddy. I want yardages. He's ranking traps, all of it.
Yeah, I'm going to wear the bib. I'm going to wipe off his... Oh, I must have said something pretty suspect there.
You've done that before.
I'm going to wear the bib. Yeah, I'm going to wipe his golf balls. It's going to be a whole thing.
Now I know what you were about to say. Pete, dude, this time next week we'll be in Richmond. You fired up?
Oh, certainly. I didn't even think about that. But maybe we can do this 20 questions in person. Maybe I'll do it with a current player on the roster. Yeah, I'm very excited. Who wouldn't be excited about that opportunity?
That'd be fun with a current player.
A current player, once you get the position, you're done, Pete.
Yeah, we just
pretty much, yeah.
Go through the roster. You could do it with a Rivera-era player. How about that?
Rivera-era.
Maybe we can
era.
Chop like it down that. To 10 questions. Do a 10-question special.
No, no, no.
You could do two
questions.
Of them. Two of them, current players, 10-question special.
That is a fun Lamphill's, idea, JP.
Lamphill's shaking his head. He's disgusted. Pete, thank you for the time, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Good job on Wendell Smallwood. See you later.
Wendell Smallwood is my guy. I remember seeing Adrian Peterson in the hotel that night, steaming mad. When we return, got to get a little Nats update. Time to talk a little bit of baseball because Juan Soto is on fire. And in 25 minutes, we're going to be joined by Phil Chenier to talk about the Wizards' new hire, Mr. Wes Unseld Jr., and Game 6, Bucks-Suns tonight.
Be Mitch here from my team over at MP180. Listen, I got to confess, I misspoken. I talked to you all earlier. I told you that in the pandemic, people gained 19 pounds. But really? They gain over 29 pounds, and that's so dangerous. It's even scary. And reason is because, according to the medical studies, being 15% overweight takes over 8 years off your life expectancy. So no more excuses. For your health and for your loved ones, start your personalized EMP program with your own counselor today. Do what I did and book an appointment to learn why this would be your last weight loss program you'll ever need. Learn how thousands of fan listeners dramatically improved their health and lives with EMP180. Start your journey now to feel, look, and perform like the younger you with EMP180, the gold standard for scientifically developed, personalized, one-on-one, nutrition-based weight loss. Call 855-888-0180. That's 855-888-0180 or visit EMP180.com. EMP180 Weight Loss. Look better, feel better, live better, and do what JP doesn't do, perform better.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
me give my heart to a woman, not for nothing, never happened. Yeah, I actually did. Bemis and Finley, Tuesday afternoon. Shout out to my guy, Joe Cervone. Joe Cervone got married. Did you know that?
Joe did?
Yeah. Hmm. Happy for Joe. Good dude.
Congrats, Joe.
Our guy Darren in North Carolina is on the line. Let's go to DNC. Darren, what's up, man? What makes 2021 a successful season for the Washington football team?
Just the season alone, man. Thank you for taking my call. Excuse me. I'll probably have to say double-digit wins and a playoff win. It has to be because the level of success and the way this team is looked at, it can't be below average no more. It can't be, you know, 8-9 or you know what I mean? It can't be that no more. It has to be double-digit wins. It has to be a playoff win for success because you win a division in a bad division. Your team is supposedly improving, so this has to be the year. The quarterback play has to be above average. I'm not saying I believe in Fitzpatrick to be the guy, but I believe, you know, situations bring the best out of people or the worst, and this could be a situation that could bring the best out of them. And, you know, this team has a good defense, and I love the Jamin Davis, the St. Juice. You know, I love those additions, and Matt Ioannidis coming back. So I want to see 10-11 wins and a playoff win. I want to see two playoff wins if I could, but, hey, thank y'all for taking my call.
Hell, Darren, you should want to see four playoff wins and get a Super Bowl. It's okay to want big things. Like, we're not on the team. It's okay to want that. I feel like the whole Washington football team fandom, you know that hug in Good Will Hunting?
We're hesitant.
When Robin Williams just hugs Matt Damon and keeps telling him, it's not your fault, it's not your fault. That's what all the fans of this organization need. It's not their fault. It's going to be okay. I wanted to take Darren's call, but I did want to switch gears, talk a little baseball. The seam head, the official B. Mitch and Finley Nats insider Cody Betts report. Listen, they dropped 18 last night. They were on fire. They're 5 games under .500. Get us up to speed, Cody.
All right. So the Nationals, as of right now, they have a 3.6% chance to make the playoffs. That's via FanGraphs.
3.6?
Yeah, 3.6.
Not great.
It's not great, but they've got a couple teams ahead of them. That's why the Mets, they're 49-42. The Phillies are 47-45. The Braves are 45-47. And then there are the Nats, 6 games back at 44-49. But the victory last night, it helped a lot. They've got 2 more games against the Marlins. They had the 18-1 victory, 10 runs in the first 2 innings. They just came out swinging. Juan Soto, 3-for-4, 5 RBIs, batting over .300 now, right where we think he's going to be in that elite category. And they had 2 home runs, a double, and a walk. He was just a menace out there. And John Lester gave us something that he has not given us all year long. 7 innings pitched and a home run by the pitcher.
So last night
he hit a home run too?
Lester hit a home run. Last night was obviously a rocket ship. It was great. I think the terrible events of Saturday night kind of made us ignore or forget that they gave up 24 runs on Friday night. What the hell?
It didn't make me forget.
They gave up in 3 games against the Padres. They gave up 43 runs. That's bad.
Yeah, that's not good, but it's baseball. There's a game the next day. You can forget those things. We knew going into those games against the Dodgers, the Padres, the Giants, and then the Padres again, they were going to be tough games. And the fact that they were able to squeak away one win in that 3-game series after the All-Star break was huge. And the guys are starting to roll. They're starting to roll. They're starting to hit the ball, and that's fine.
You get Soto hitting. Trey has been great all year. Is there any expectation for Schwarber coming back? Is that ship sailed?
I got some news on that. Schwarber not set to come back for a minute, but they're trying to get Ryan Zimmerman in the game whenever they can. So what are they going to do? They're going to put Josh Bell in left field.
Wow. Did he play left field?
They had him working out in left field the past couple days. He might be athletic enough to do it, but they need both bats in the lineup right now.
It was a hamstring with Schwarber.
Yeah, but I think Rizzo was on with the Junkies, or maybe Docherty was on with the Junkies, and it doesn't sound like there's any good news coming on Schwarber, and it sounds like the news got worse on Strasburg too, because there was some optimism that Strasburg could come back, but now he had a setback, right?
Yes, he did have a setback, but I think, just let him rest for another week or two and then get him back towards the end of the season when they're really in that playoff push.
I'm looking at lots of things. I'm looking at the schedule here. I mean, they just played Padres, Giants, Dodgers, these really good teams. I mean, the best teams in baseball are in the NL West. I don't think that's really debatable, right?
And that's why the Nationals have to win the division or they will not make the playoffs.
I get all that. But now I'm looking at the schedule, two more with the Marlins, three against the Orioles. I will always have love for the Baltimore Orioles, but they're god-awful. And then it's division games. You get Phillies, Braves, there's a series with the Cubs. Could they chop some wood here?
They've got 42 more divisional games before the end of the season. That's plenty of time to make
up a quarter of the season.
That's plenty of games to make up six games. And especially because they're playing two against the Marlins right now and then three against the Orioles. They can make up two, three games just this week.
Well, and isn't DeGrom on the IL? That's a huge blow for the Mets.
The Mets are going through a lot of injury concerns of them for themselves, which is why they're not really gaining any ground. I mean, they just lost two games against the Pirates. They're not gaining anything because they're going through these injury struggles.
What are the betting markets telling us about like what they think in the NL East? Like
the Mets are the favorites, yeah. And the Nationals are plus 1,400 to win the division.
What about the Phillies and the Braves?
They're sprinkled in right between them, like plus 600, things like that, yeah.
You think they got... Listen, I feel like they're a boat taking on water with the Schwarber injury, the Strasburg injury. I mean, they have a lot of other injuries as well. You think they got another run in them? Because we saw June,
and then we look at what Soto is doing right now in these last four games. When Schwarber was doing it, he was the guy doing it.
Right, and Soto was batting .263 on June 18th. 1 month later, he's batting .301.
Yeah.
He's gone up almost 40 points, and that is what they need.
They have enough talent on this team to make a run. I believe that.
It'd be a lot of fun if they did. And you look at, I mean, the Cubs are floundering, right? They're kind of in that similar just sub 500 world. I mean, look at these games. Like, there's not another tough club. Marlins and Orioles, hell, you like to think that's two sweeps. Baseball doesn't usually work like that. But that's six games. Maybe you go 4-2 there. Four games set with the Phillies, then the Cubs, then the Phillies again, then the Braves. Like, I mean, they don't play a team with a record over 500. Are the Blue Jays any good?
Yes, they are good.
So that when they get to late August, mid to late August, they get the Blue Jays and the Brewers. The Brewers are good too. So that's a little challenging. But, I mean, their stretch of kind of these best teams in baseball is over.
Yeah, and their hitting has got to outplay their pitching at this point. Their starting pitching is not the best. Their bullpen, obviously, from the start of the season has not been the best. But offensively, they are in the top of the league. They're fourth in batting average at .259 and fourth in on-base percentage at .330. They're 16th in runs, so they're getting on base a ton, but they're not scoring. Once they figure that out, I think their hitting can outplay their pitching.
They're scoring now. And I think...
Well, they scored last night.
They certainly scored last night. I think Schwarber is the type of player that got insanely hot for a month, but we all knew he would cool off. Soto wasn't that great the first half of the year, right? He was fine, but he wasn't a superstar. He is a superstar. I always thought Soto would put it together and have... I don't think... Like, he's super hot right now, 5 home runs in 4 games. But I think he will perform at a higher level the entire second half of the season so that his year numbers look like they normally do. Rizzo always says, back of the baseball card. I believe in the back of the baseball card with Juan Soto that his numbers are going to deliver.
Yeah, he had 11 home runs and he was batting around .280 in the first half. That is not Juan Soto.
He has 5 and 4 games now.
And that doesn't help the Nationals with just 11 home runs in one half of baseball.
Right, totally. And luckily, Schwarber got hot and kind of carried them there in June. Otherwise, this thing would have collapsed.
And the guy that you talked about earlier, like before the show even started, the guy that's flying under the radar that's having a phenomenal season is Trey Turner.
Right.
Fifth in the MLB. The MLB, not just the NL, with batting average at .319. He is really leading this team as well.
18, 19 homers, something like that?
How is he flying under the radar with those numbers that good?
It is crazy that he's under the radar and he's damn good.
Yeah, he has 18 home runs, but you got to think the other shortstop, Tatis, has like 28 home runs.
Right.
Leading the league, him and Shohei.
I wonder... I wonder if with Trey Turner, when's his contract up? Next year? I almost wonder if fans are just so prepared for the Lerners not to pay him that they're having a tough time with the full embrace.
Yes, he is on a one-year, $13 million deal, and that brings up the huge question. Soto, Turner, both, neither? What are they going to do?
Well, Soto, you still have a couple more years of control, right? I feel like Soto, they still have 3 years. This season plus two more. But, listen, if history tells us anything, they're going to let him walk. And I hate it, but that's just, I mean, we've seen them do it.
They have to change that narrative.
Yeah, he has three more years of arbitration.
Right, and I think Turner's done. I don't see them paying the money for Turner, do you?
I think they should.
I absolutely think they should, but there's zero historic precedent to suggest they will.
But I think normally...
I think Soto is a Ovechkin type. You cannot let him leave. You cannot let him wear any other uniform.
Yeah.
I think he needs to be the next $500 million man.
Look at this deal right now. They let Bryce walk, no matter what you think about him at this point. Rendon leaves. You have to start trying to keep your guys, especially when you grow up.
You know how infuriating that must be for Mike Rizzo? Just to watch these guys bounce. Man. All right, let's hope they keep Trey. Let's hope they keep Juan. B. Mitch says they have another run in them. I think they might too, especially if Soto gets hot. Maybe you get Strasburg back late August. Might be something there.
We'll see.
Coming up next, time to talk NBA with none other than Mr. Phil Chenier. Joining the program, talk Wes Unseld Jr. and the finals tonight.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
B. Mitch and Finley, just kind of jamming out to Rick James, pardon me. Hope everybody's doing well. It's been a while since we talked. Right now, no time for messing around, B. Mitch. You know why?
We got the man.
We got the legend. Mr. Phil Chenier joins us now on the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books, download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Phil, how you doing, man? Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. How you guys doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
We're doing great. You know what?
Cool.
You know what has helped is the Wizards, after seemingly 8 months, have hired a head coach. And I'm guessing it's somebody you know fairly well, Wes Unseld Jr. We're coming to you for the official Wes Unseld Jr. scouting report.
Well, you know, first of all, let me say it's a sentimental pick for me. Tommy Shepard and Ted Leonsis, that's not the case. They have to make a business decision. And I think they did. But to see this come full circle, Wes starting off, I can go back to the Cap Center when he and the other kids of the players were playing in the family room upstairs, up top there. But for him to make this route and come back here, and I can't help but see an image of Big Wes being very pleased and very proud of his son. you know, he has that gruff voice and he always acts tough, but he's a teddy bear. He was a teddy bear, really. And I know he's got to be very proud and very happy for little Wes.
When you look at Wes and the things he's done around with different teams and being very good with defense in Denver, you know, something that I'm so happy about here in Washington. Excuse me. What would be the scouting report of Wes Unseld Jr.?
Well, I think he probably brings a certain demeanor that his dad had, and that's the idea of being able to be a leader, but being able to empower people that are with him. I mean, when Wes was he was not only our team captain, he was the vice president of the Players Association. He was our leader. And, you know, in when times were tough, I mean, you know how that is. There's certain players that have that character about him, and you look to them. And I think that he's been able, in his own way, to pass that on to his son by way of talking to him and sometimes by way of just example. So I think that he will be a coach that will have some, humility. He'll have some leadership skills. He'll have the ability to designate authority and delegate. So all those things that encompass a coach and a leader, I think he'll have. As far as the X's and the O's, I can't tell you about that, but I do know that in what I've read and what I've heard, Michael Malone in Denver spoke very highly of him and said some very good things about him. And again, he's going to come to this team and try to obviously garner, you know, the support and the, what am I trying to say? I mean, he's got to get the players to understand what they're trying to do, to buy in and understand that it's going to take sacrifice from everybody. And then the commitment, you know, and like you said, the defense is an area where it's got to improve if you're going to move to another level. So to buy into whatever strategy he's laid out, and I heard in his press conference the other day that he's willing to take suggestions and input from the players. And that's a wise decision. I always say that Gene Shue was my first coach. And we would have practice sessions when we would discuss how we were going to play different things, and he would ask for input. And I thought that's a wise thing to do, because we're out there on the floor, so we know how, you know, we want to try and attack a situation or how we want to defend a situation. And I think that's very important. I think those are the kind of qualities and some of the brain thrust that Wes Jr. will bring.
Hey, Phil. You know, I think we're all excited for the Wes hire. For me, if you look at what happened in Denver, they've developed players and they play defense. And that's something that largely hasn't happened here, and I'm hoping he can bring that. Be remiss if we don't ask you about tonight's game, Game 6 of the NBA Finals, Suns-Bucks. This series has been pretty wild. It's been pretty fun to watch.
Yes, it has.
What do you think happens tonight?
You know, I guess I wouldn't be surprised if Milwaukee wins, but I'm going to go with Phoenix. I'm going to say some kind of way they force this Game 7. Maybe some of that is wishful thinking on my part. I love Game 7.
Sure.
But I had picked Phoenix from the beginning. They seemed a little rattled right now. Obviously, the big turnover in Game 5 by Booker. We haven't, you know, think about this. Chris Paul set such a high standard in the first two or three series by taking over at either the third or fourth quarter. Remember, about three or four games straight, he would have 16, 17 points in a quarter and just help separate his team from their opponents. He hasn't been able to do that in this series. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you look at his numbers from the last game, not bad. I think he had 21, 22 points, 7 assists. Not bad. But based on what he had done and how he had dominated in certain areas of the game, you're saying, "Hey, he's not really doing anything." So, you know, it's going to be up to them to kind of reestablish the confidence that they had in themselves and their ability to dominate in certain areas and certain times. and see if they can come away with the win. So to answer your question, I wouldn't be surprised if Milwaukee wins, but I think that Phoenix can pull this off and take it back to Phoenix for Game 7. And at that point, you know,
all bets off.
Absolutely.
I just think the NBA, since they lost a little bit in the ratings, they would love to see a Game 7 because I think that would bring some people back to the TV.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, obviously Giannis, Middleton, Holiday, you know, you've got, you know, then you got CP3, you got Ayton, who I love watching, and of course Booker, Cameron Payne. So you've got a number of players that people are all of a sudden say, oh, I didn't know this guy was that good. I didn't know this guy could do this. I didn't, you know, and like you said, it gets to that Game 7 where, you know, it's a flip of the coin. I mean, that's intriguing. That's must-see basketball. So you're right. If it gets to that, I'm sure the league wouldn't be disappointed in that at all.
Hey, Phil, tell everybody where to find your podcast.
On the Road with Buck and Phil. And, you know, they've got plenty of stories to tell you about Buck. You guys know Buck well. You know,
I would love to actually be on the road with Buck and Phil. That's what I'd like to do.
I tell you, it's entertaining. It's entertainment.
Phil, thank you so much for the time, man. We really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Keep up the good work. Talk to you later.
Thank you. That is the legendary Mr. Phil Chenier. Nobody knows the Washington Wizards Bullets organization better than that man.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that was a lot of fun. I don't know if our next segment is going to be as fun. All we talk about is how bright the future is for the Washington football team.
Yes.
What if the experts disagree? Let's get to the bottom of that next, 106.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.